My job is obedience, as you know. I have a word for you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Every word that the Lord has spoken to us shall come to pass. Put your faith in what He has said, and not in current events, not what you're seeing. Put your faith in Him. He cannot lie. He will not change His mind. And we shall have everything that the Lord has said to us. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. I'm about to lead us in the special confessions for the election. And during this week, according to current events, I think we could join in with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. This is not what I expected. Is it what you expected? Well, and we may still have something different, you know. But perplexed, this does not seem like what we were believing for, what we've been saying. It's encouraging to me that even the Apostle Paul, who wrote this by the inspiration of the Spirit, as well as he knew the Lord and as well as he obeyed the Lord, he said, there's times when I'm perplexed. I don't understand what you're doing, God. I don't understand how this fits your plan. I don't get it. The best English word, I did a little study on perplexed. The best word we would have for it today is baffled. What? Or in Urban Dictionary would go, what? what? I don't get, what? This doesn't seem like what you said. I'm perplexed. But notice, but I'm not in despair. I am not in despair. This next, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. Got to remember, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Yes, sir. He had me prepare this. You know, we sing the song, Waymaker. And it's a good one. How many of you believe He's a miracle worker? Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. That is who You are. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Because that is who You are. He is our way maker. So if you'd repeat after me. Father, I present myself to You as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before You on behalf of this election. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to impact the way the votes are counted. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. According to the power and authority given to me by God, in the name of Jesus, I speak to You, spirit of confusion. And I command that You silence Your tongue and cease Your actions. You will not have an impact on this election. I come against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against the man God knows should be elected. I speak to you and I command you, you spirit of confusion, be cast out now. In Jesus' name. Jesus has given to me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all of your devils are bound concerning this nation and this election. None of your plans for interfering with this election will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you. And all of your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you. And triumphed over you. For all eternity. He has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you. And your devils. Completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated. In this election, Satan, you and your devils have lost. The victory of Christ is known in this election. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils, and your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You walk in blindness, and division has filled your camp. Lord, make your words in our mouth fire. And may the plans of the enemy be as wood, consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all those who are trying to interfere with and alter the outcome of this election. May confusion fill their camps, as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they devastate each other. May their plans and agendas collapse at their feet. Just as you revealed to Elijah the plans of the Syrian army, expose the plans of the ungodly who are trying to corrupt this election. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day. And drive back the forces of evil. Father, we offer up prayer in the Spirit. And we ask that the Holy Spirit pray through us your perfect will concerning the outcome you desire for this election. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, I say, the government of this nation rests upon you. May the man the Father wants as our president be elected. May all the votes cast for him be brought to light. And may every illegal vote be cast out. Father, the battle is not ours, it is yours. You are with us. God, we praise you and we worship you. For your mercy endures forever. We praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in this election. So let's do that. Father, we thank You and we praise You. Every word You have spoken shall come to pass exactly as You have spoken it. You are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. Even when we don't understand it, even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, You are still working. You are still working. You are still working. You are the way maker, the miracle worker, and we worship You. We glorify You. Hallelujah. Bronk was teaching along this line Wednesday night, and he was talking about his older grandson, Jojo, I think's his name. He says, now Jojo has learned going to the movies, you don't leave the movies until the credits roll. Because a lot of times, near the end of those credits, they got a preview, you know, of the next. So he says, Jojo, come on. You know, no, we can't leave yet, Papa, at the movie. No, we can't leave. You know, there's more. He says, man, we're staying till the lights come on and the popcorn guy is sweeping up, you know. And I'm going, yeah, and who knows? Hang around. It just might be a double feature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you're hoping for a different message from last week, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Stay in intimacy. Stay in intimacy. The rain is coming. I can't get away from this. You can, yes, sir. We will look at Luke 11 again. Yes, sir. I remember. Now, Luke 11. Just read verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that's Jesus, when he ceased, he stopped. One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now there's several things to get just from that. There's times when Jesus would pray out loud. And you know, he would bless the food and bless before he, multiplied the loaves and fishes. There were times when he prayed in the garden. Obviously they could hear him because they recorded what he prayed. But here, it's obvious they can't hear him. Whatever Jesus is praying, he's praying quietly. You know, I don't mean he's silent, but he's maybe off in a distance. He's gone off to pray by himself. A lot of times he would go spend all night alone on the mountain, just him and God. And that they didn't hear what he's saying. If they'd have heard what he's saying, they wouldn't need to ask, teach us to pray. So that what we're seeing here is the private time. Just Jesus and his Father. This is like Matthew 6. When you pray, don't do it to be seen of men. Go into your closet, meaning a private place, just between you and the Father. So this is intimate prayer, what we're talking about here. And so what's amazing, though, when Jesus tells them, he tells them the pattern. You know, most people take this to be the literal words, and it's fine to pray the literal words, but really it's the pattern for prayer. And he said unto them, so he's starting to teach them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, that's almost word for word verbatim the same as when he taught it over in Matthew 6. And there he said also about give us this day our daily bread. Now, in Matthew 6's account, again, he expounded on the bread, and that's where we have all of the teachings about your provision. What, don't worry about what he doesn't mean don't have a job. He doesn't mean don't save. He says don't worry. Don't spend your life consumed with those things. That's what the unbelievers have to do because they have no father. They have no provider. He says, but your Father, he says, just consider the birds, consider the lilies. Your Father takes care of them. They're his pets in his garden. If he's going to take care of them, you think he's not going to provide for you, his child. That's the message. So we don't have to spend our life like the unbelievers do. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Okay, no. He plainly says, you can focus your life. You can be about your Father's business Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, those are red letters in my Bible, and I'm pretty sure you can take those to the bank. I'm going to have to start amening myself. I can't get an amen with a $5 bill here. Those are true words, is what I'm saying. It's wonderful to be free. Now, I'm a hard worker. I've got a good work ethic. If they were to hire me at Brahms, even at 74 years old, and after they got to know me a little while, maybe all I'm doing is stocking the shelves. I don't know, whatever job that they gave me. If hard times come and they're going to lay people off, I'll be one of the last ones to get laid off. Even though he said, well, you're 74 and that kid over there is 20. He can lift twice as much as you. Yeah. But I understand what an employee is. I know I have to make them more money than they're paying me, or there's no reason to keep me. I am able to follow instructions without trying to correct the boss. They're going to keep me around. I'm a good employee, see. Well, the reason I'm saying that, Jesus plainly says, believe me. Seek first the kingdom of God. Find out what it is that your Father wants you to be doing. Now, you may be doing it as a lawyer. You may be doing it as a doctor. You may be doing it as a bus driver. You may be doing it in whatever it is. You may be raising kids at home, and that's your full-time job. Great, wonderful. Still yet, in that occupation, whatever it is, you be seeking first the kingdom of God. You let your light shine. You be salt in the earth. If you do that, you have an ironclad promise from the lips of the Son of God. All these things shall be added unto you. Say it with me. It's good to be free. It's good to have a father. It's good to have a provider. My life is not about money. My life is about the kingdom of God. So in Matthew 6, he's focusing on the bread when he's expounding on the bread part of that prayer. And he's focusing primarily on your faith for your provision, no matter what. But in Luke's account, he starts expounding on the bread, but he's not talking about your provision now. He's talking about something else. So let's read it again just to refresh our memory. So right after the Lord's Prayer, and verse 3 says, give us day by day our daily bread. Now he expounds on that part. Verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And I'm going to stop right there. Okay, this is not about your bread, is it? This is about bread for somebody else. See, and sadly, this is where the whole church is, and for the most part, the prayer center also. I thank God for the crumbs of bread we have seen. I thank God. I've saw more bread delivered through Pastor Dave Roberson than any other minister I've ever been around. I thank God for the healings and the deaf ears and the different things that we have seen. But compared to what God wants to do, we're still not delivering the bread like he wants. And the truth of it is, he wants to deliver the bread to every person in the body of Christ. Okay. So this is about, when I say bread, we're not talking about physical bread necessarily. Could be, say you really need bread. We're really talking about the anointing. And how we know that is at the end of this, he switches from bread to the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is the miracle worker. I mean, he's the molecule changer. He is the manifester of the word. Okay. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, see, again, here's our, I think Alan one time called it our impossible box. And it's got these pictures on here. There's a Victoria is on there. Tommy Perez is on there. Other cases. All of these cases, according to the world, and I mean the best that modern science, modern medicine has to offer, this is impossible. They have nothing. It's not a matter of money. You can't, there's no hospital, no, the Mayo Clinic, I don't care where you go, nobody has an answer for these. But my Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. See, I don't think it's any problem. See, Victoria, the reason we mention her, Victoria was born with a partial brain. Not her fault, not her parents' fault. It's part of the fall. The original sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. God's real good at fixing birth defects. Remember the man that was born blind? 40 years old, born blind. How hard was it for him to get his sight? How about the guy that was lame at the gate beautiful? Said he was born that way from his mother's womb. Birth defect. Did that stop Jesus? And actually it didn't stop Jesus working through Peter. And don't tell anybody, Peter had flaws. Didn't stop Jesus, did it? See, that's the bread. The bread we're talking about here is whatever they need. And even if it's impossible to the world, so what? It's not impossible to God. God can make a brain, drop it right in Victoria, just boom. I believe he can drop it in with how to speak English. You know, I believe she could speak English. I don't think Adam went to school to learn how to speak. Anyway, that's another story. That was free. There's no extra charge, but yeah. Verse 6 again, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. Boy, it was years and years before I really understood what's going on right there. See, this is what the devil wants you to believe. First of all, the implication when that voice comes from the inside and says, well, my children are in here with me, what does that tell you? You're not his child. He's telling you, you're not worthy. You're not my child. My children are in here with me. You're just, who are you? I can't give and give to you. See, that's what the devil wants you to think. You're not even his child. You're not worthy for what. He'll start coming up with a whole list of reasons why you can't have the bread. You're not. If you're not careful, he'll get you even believing you're not even a child of God. Don't ask me how I know that. Now Jesus says, but I say unto you, in other words, that's what that voice said, but I say, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Boy, that's important right there. As many as he needs. Well, I need a lot. I need a brain for Victoria. As many as you need, Gary. As many as you need. And I say unto you, ask. Now see, why is this in here? We're going to expound on this part in a minute. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I've always read that and said, that's nice, okay. And I just kept reading because I didn't get the understanding of it. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks find, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Here it is, verse 11. If a what? If a son. See, that voice on the inside was implying you're not his child. My children are in here with me. Who are you? But Jesus understands. He wants us to understand. He is your father. Notice the prayer. How did it start off? Our Father. He wants us to have that understanding. Our Father. Which of you, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Will he ask a fish, and for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, and he means compared to God, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, here it is again, children, remember that voice trying to make you think you're not even a child of God. Jesus keeps talking about Father, Son, children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, see, I go, but I've already got the Holy Spirit. I've already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I can shandalai along with the rest of you, you know. Or how Alan does it, shaka shaka. Should have bought a Honda, but about a Hyundai. Anyway. But see, and the In one of the epistles, it says, be filled. And it's be filled with the Spirit. And it's that is written to Spirit-filled Christians. And in the Greek, it really says, be being filled. For the longest time, I did not understand why this asking, seeking, and knocking. It's because, again, to help me understand, while I was meditating, this came while I was reading and listening over and over again the prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk titled, Stay in Intimacy, the Rain is Coming. And he just keeps talking about intimacy. All truth lives in intimacy. What a sentence. All truth lives in intimacy. The rain is coming. What rain? The rain of my presence. The rain of my presence and of my glory. But it will only be done through intimacy. And I was reading that prophecy and this passage kept coming up to me. And all of a sudden a little movie played in my mind. And suddenly I saw a castle wall. And I knew God lived in the castle. And I was like, can a castle have a porch? Anyway, this one did. I'm like on a porch outside the castle. And I'm asking for bread. Now there's a castle wall, okay, it's pretty tall. And I'm out there, I need the bread. You got to give me the bread. I'm asking for bread. I've come to get bread. Do you understand me? I need bread. And I just stayed out there. Now there's a door. There's a door right there. I didn't do any knocking. I didn't do any entering. I'm just asking. See, it starts off with ask. I'm just asking. But I'm out on the porch asking. I don't know what I expected. It's almost like in this little movie, I expected biscuits to come flying over the wall. Okay, here it comes. Why is it in here about ask, seek, and knock? And I finally got it. What are you doing outside? The bread is in here. It's obtained by intimacy. You can have all the bread you want, son. But you got to come in here. Now, if you ask and you seek and you knock, the door's going to be opened. You'll have entrance. You and I will have intimacy. Because I got to tell you, the bread, really what the bread is, it's Him. It is Him. It's His presence. It's the tangible filling of the Holy Spirit. And being filled. It's a refilling. I don't care what kind of glass you have. I don't care how big a container. You just keep pouring. You can have that thing brim full. But you keep pouring out of it, pouring out of it, pouring out of it, and you don't ever put it back under the spigot. That thing is going to go dry. You got to get back under the faucet. You got to get back in the presence. You got to spend time with Him. And the promise is, if you'll do that, if you'll ask, when He says the Father will give the Holy Spirit that ask Him, the Holy Spirit's never left me. But He's talking about a filling, a presence, where it's an overflow. It's, I have more than just my bread. I've got bread for you. What if we have bread for Victoria? Bread for Tommy Perez? Wouldn't that be something? And I'm going to read you just a little more, again, from this prophecy. This is available BronkFlint.org, prophecies. I believe this is the last one in 2020. It has already come out in the Dave Roberson Ministries emails with the present day, present hour speaking. Let me read just part of this again. It says, understand this. Yes, sir. Come here. What's going on? I don't mean to be weird or mysterious. He's been birthing a vision in me that, again, to me, it's not complete. The bread is not done. Can I say? I'm not used to. I would chew on these things for like 2 years before I'd teach it. But when I started to read this, I saw it again. So, can I read? Okay, I'm going to read first. Then we'll do that, I think. Okay, so I'm reading from the prophecy that came on December 27th, 2020. Stay in intimacy, the rain is coming. Understand this, that in worship and in true adoration, more can be accomplished in you through my Spirit than hours of preaching and teaching. More can be deposited in you than months of preaching and teaching. When your spirit yields to my spirit, then all of everything that I have taught you about myself through my spirit and my word comes into fullness. Now let's stop a moment. All of everything that I have taught you about myself through my spirit and my word. Now I'm talking to prayer center here in Tulsa, prayer center in Dayton, prayer center in Immokalee, and prayer center around the world. Australia, New Zealand, Africa. I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know who you are. And if you've been feeding on the teachings of the prayer center for all of these years, think of all the teaching that you have. Think of the word that you know. Think of how he worded it here, through my spirit and through my word. But he says, when your spirit yields to my spirit, and he's talking about intimacy, then all of everything that I have taught you. Now think about that. We're probably some of the most accountable people on planet Earth with the knowledge that we have. See, I'm embarrassed to tell you the amount of knowledge that I have that I'm not walking in. The amount of knowledge that I have that I can't, at this moment, produce in the earth. And I'm talking about things like Victoria. I know what the word says. I have the knowledge. But he's talking about going beyond knowledge. See, and for that, I'm finding out now, it requires his presence. And in a way that we've not walked in. If we were walking in it, Victoria would have her brain. Clear, just plain talk, okay? Now I'm going to read that sentence again. When your spirit yields to my spirit, and he's talking about in worship, then all of every, well, in intimacy, then all of everything that I have taught you about myself through my spirit and my word comes into fullness, says the Spirit of grace. I'm not looking for mechanics in these days. Now, Alex is a good mechanic back here. He wants it, Alex. What he's talking about is legalism. He's not looking for the legalistic hours. That's not what it's about, although their hours are involved. I'm looking for intimacy. Now, here is that sentence that I never heard in my life till this prophecy. All truth lives in intimacy. What a sentence. All truth lives in intimacy. All studied truth, all meditated truth, though it may be truth, if it's not immersed, mingled with intimacy, it will only be formulas. And I'm sad to say, I'd have to raise my hand in court and say, that is the truth. I had the formula on how to pray and get Victoria healed. And I can tell you all about it, show you chapter and verse, studied, meditated. Got a lot I can. But as of up until now, that truth has not been manifested in the earth through Gary. It's him through Gary, you understand? He's trying to tell us how to go beyond the knowledge, how to go beyond the formula, where it can be manifested in the earth. But I say unto you, take hold of every moment of intimacy, both in the service, like today, and at your place in private worship. Let these things go deep into your heart. Desire them. Lust after them. You hardly ever hear him use that word. Count them the greatest part of your life and the most valuable part of your life, says the Spirit of grace. Now this next paragraph, we've got to read this one now. The rain, R-A-I-N, the rain is coming. The spiritual rain from heaven is coming. No matter the election, no matter how it goes, No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, the rain is coming. How many of you know it's too late? It's far too late to stop the outpouring. The angels have already received their assignments and are angeling. They're angeling those assignments right now. And though it has been prophesied and prophesied, not only in this house, but in many places worldwide, the rain is coming of my presence and of my glory. Like man has never seen. Let's talk about what man has seen. They saw the 10 plagues that came to Egypt. The Nile turned to blood. All of those different things that happened. They saw the Red Sea divided and walked across on dry ground. They saw the Jordan when it came time to go into the Promised Land. It was flood stage, backed up for miles and miles. When they stepped into it, the waters backed up and they went across on dry ground. In the book of Acts, you just got within the shadow length of Peter and you got healed. These are things that man has seen. But he says, like the rain is coming of my presence and of my glory like man has never seen. Even in comparison to the book of Acts, these things will supersede them, says the Spirit of grace. See, I don't remember in the book of Acts of anybody receiving a new brain. You? I don't remember one. We're going to see that. We're going to see it. Plain and simple. You're going to see me walking straight as a string and Alan without even the smell of smoke on him like it never happened. We're walking through it, aren't we? But the rain is coming. I'm looking for the day Tommy Perez walks in here straight as a string. I'm eager to hear what his voice sounds like. Get up here and give his testimony. I'm not interested in a gospel where God doesn't get to move like that. Listen, if what we've had and what's available worldwide in the church right now, if that's all there is, just kill me now. Because that is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of the previous prophecies to this one said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be manifested in the earth again. Amen. And it will be too. Even in comparison to the book of Acts, these things will supersede them, says the Spirit of grace. But it will only be done through my intimacy. What does the word only mean to you? There's six ways. Only means what? One way. What we're after will only come through my intimacy and your spending time with me. See, I had heard things like that before, to be honest with you. I've heard prophecies worded like this, similar, over the years. But he never opened up Luke 11 to me before. But Luke 11, now I see it. I think the whole church has been out on the porch waiting for God to throw the bread over the wall. And that's not how the bread comes. That's not what Jesus said. He said, knock. He said, seek. Find. Then ask. Oh my goodness. He was teaching us. And if you look at it, he just came out of the intimate time of prayer himself with the Father. That was why they asked him. It says, when he ceased praying. And it was an intimate time of prayer. They didn't know what he was praying. He's teaching them to do what he does. He would go into these private times, just him and the Father. You can't hear what he's saying. Why? It's not for you. That's between him and the Father. He's teaching them to do exactly what he was doing. And they'd watch him go spend all night in prayer and worship, whatever he does. You know, they weren't there, so they don't know. Yes, sir, I hear that verse. Paul says in Philippians, I believe it's chapter 3, he says his goal, he counted all of his pedigree but dung. He says, I only have really one goal now, and that is to know him And Paul could have chosen, the Holy Spirit could have chosen several Greek words or several Greek words that could be translated no. But the one he chose to use there, that I may know him, and he's not being weird, he's not being, it's the same word that we would use when a man knows his wife. That level of intimacy. Something so private, nobody else ever gets to see it. Something so, it's holy. It's precious. It's intimate. It's the ultimate and intimate. And Paul chose that word. I want to know him. And it's private. It's holy. It's between Paul and God. And Jesus, his time with the Lord, with the Father, was private. They had to ask him. But they'd watch him go spend those times. Boy, when he'd come out and they'd go to minister, did he deliver the bread? The blind would see, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, the dead were raised. He had the bread. He was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? God was with him. God was with him. Praise the Lord forever. Hallelujah. It will only be done through my intimacy and your spending time with me. The words are over and over and over again rehearsed in this place and in this house and through this ministry. But understand this, you're building to a point. And know that the path to that point, the journey to that place of the outpouring, is just as supernatural as the outpouring. Okay, it's the third time. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Yes. This is the bread that to me is not done, but he won't leave me alone about it, so I'm going to serve up what I know of it, okay? And it's Matthew 5, 13 and 14. I guess we'll, and 15 and 16. You are the salt of the earth. Now, okay, you are the salt of the earth. This is Jesus talking to you. Jesus talking to all of us. This is not to the fivefold. This is to all believers. There was a multitude hearing him when he did this Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, three things that we know when he says that men may see your good works, three things we know those good works are not. They're not prayer, they're not giving, and they're not fasting. Because in Matthew 6, just another next chapter, he says when you do those things, prayer, giving, and fasting, you do all three of those in secret, that your Father may see in secret, and then he will reward you openly. Okay? So that's these good works. What are they? The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. In today's context, we would call it deliver the bread. Do the works. Pray for the sick. See them recover. Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. All of those things we do. Okay? Now, the part that's different, I'm just going to do my best here. You are the salt of the earth. Now, I'm going to use the example he gave me, and God help us all. Okay. See, a lot of people don't like turkey. You know, I mean, they have it once a year, and that's okay. But they don't really like turkey. Now, see, I always say, that's because you have never had Sue's turkey. And you never had Angie's turkey. Oh, that Angie can make a turkey now. And I mean, when they get through seasoning that bird, that is the most juicy, delicious. I mean, Sue and I have turkey several times a year. Most people think we're weird. Well, you haven't had Sue's turkey. But now the point I'm making is the seasoning makes all the difference. How you fix that turkey makes all the difference, okay? I've had turkey that's dry and had almost no taste, and that's not the kind of turkey I'm talking about. I'm talking about turkey, okay? Really good. Now, here's the vision. And this is part of what's going on even with the United States and a lot of the things. And yeah, not my message today. Good Lord. That clock still lies. You know, Dave kept calling it a lion clock. How many remember when somebody gave Dave a clock to hang up there that had a lion's face on it? A lion clock? Oh, God. Of course, Dave loved it. Hallelujah. Thank you, whoever did that. Here's what I keep seeing. See, what makes that turkey good is the seasoning. Not for today's lesson, I'm going to say the salt. And the salt needs to be in the whole turkey. What I kept seeing, and this is kind of what's happened. See, the Great Commission is go ye into all the world and teach them everything that I taught you. Well, all the world. It's like all the turkey. For that turkey to be good, the salt, the seasoning, needs to be in every part of the bird. I've seen, you know, rub the carcass with that seasonings and everything, but it needs to be in every part. What I kept saying, here's what the church has done. Now, maybe, okay, I'm just going to stay real close with all I know so far. Here's what I saw. And it's kind of the state of the church in America, if you want to know the truth of it. Here's what I saw. Instead of rubbing that whole turkey with the seasoning and the salt and getting all that flavor in there, in this vision, which would never happen, but in this vision, I saw Sue getting ready to, you know, the turkey is in the pan, getting ready to go in the oven, and all she does is take the salt shaker and she just puts salt on one leg. That's all. I'm just going to salt this leg. That's good enough. Put the bird in there. What part of the turkey you think I want? That makes no sense. But see, we're supposed to be Christians to the world. And what's happened, we have, you know, did you know Harvard and Yale and most of, I think Columbia, but I know for sure those two, they were started by Christians for the express purpose of educating people who would take the gospel to the world. Did you know that? In the beginning, it was salt to the world. It was the gospel to the world. But what's happened, the church, and I see, and I don't want to preach again. What's happened, we've retreated. We're not, our universities now, for the most part, preach socialism. They preach, really, you ought to, when I started seeing some of the curriculum that's really going on in our major universities, you think you're in Russia. I mean, this cannot be America. Just this week I learned that about every 10 years, most states revise their history books and things, you know, new editions that come out. I just learned this week that in Minnesota, the one that's come up for review, here's our history book, they send it out to different people, peer groups to look at, to approve of before they put them in the schools. This one, that this year's, this edition, if it comes out, has no mention of the American Revolutionary War, no mention of the Civil War, no mention of World War I, World War II, or the Holocaust. See, how do you do away with a country? First, you destroy its history. If the church at one time was seasoning the whole bird, I mean every part of our society, education, law, everything. At one time, we were seasoning the whole turkey. But what's happened? We've retreated. We're down to one wing. We just come to the church. No salt to the world, no light to the world. Well, the rain is coming. You're privileged to be alive in this generation. I am privileged to listen, I've still got about 30 good years in here. Privileged to be alive to change that. Because the revival that is coming is going to be, it's going to season the whole bird again. You hear me? We're not just going to hole up in little churches. Yes, sir. I was reading this morning. I thought about bringing it. Probably should have, but I'll just have to tell you. I was reading again this morning about the persecution going on in China right now. That same spirit that is ruling in China right now is the spirit that we're wrestling against in the United States of America. And that spirit in China over the last 20 some odd years has methodically shut down every home church. Now they're using facial recognition to, you know, follow you where you go. And the only church that's approved in China right now has to be approved by the communist government. And you have to declare that communism is God or they'll shut you down. Got a big picture of, I can't say his name, Xi Jinping or whatever it is, the ruler there, instead of a cross. Well, what's happening? The church is having to go underground. They were doing it online, but guess what? Same thing happening that's already happened there is happening here now. All of the online Christian meetings, they've figured out how to shut that down. But the church is still not going to die. It's going to flourish. But that same spirit that's got a head start in China, that same spirit is trying to squish, do away with, eliminate the light and the salt out of this land. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in this world. We have to put, listen church, we have to put on the whole armor of God. You better get it on. Better get out Dave's old teachings on the armor of God. And it's not about knowing the armor. It's about living the armor. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? You stop sinning. How do you put on that loin of truth? You tell the truth. You don't lie anymore. How do you have your feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace? Well, of course we deliver the gospel of peace to man, peace between God and man, but that's not what that's talking about. What that's talking about is in the midst of every turmoil, can you still be in peace? Can you be like Jesus, asleep on the pillow in the back of the boat when everybody else thinks we're about to die? And the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, all of that. Listen, go back and listen to those teachings again. I may have to, anyway. Listen to them again. But you're privileged. We are privileged to live in this age. Because we're going to see it turn around. I don't care what it looks like. He is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He never stops working, even when I don't see it. Lord, I'm looking at the circumstances this week, and I don't see it. But He's working. I don't feel it, but He's working. And I'm telling you, the rain is coming. This is a time to press in. This is a, if you can possibly come to the corporate prayer times that we have, please come. Spend this private time in worship. Make up your mind. You are not staying out on the porch any longer waiting for a biscuit to get tossed over the wall. You are going to knock on the door. You're His child. You're His lily cakes. You're His apple of His eye. You are His favorite. And He will soon. Now we got a little Briley May. I've only got to see her twice. Little Briley May, are you kidding me? I don't care what kind of meeting you and I are in. If little Briley May comes in, she can't tie her shoe. Hold that million-dollar thought just a moment. Come here, darling. Come here, baby. Let me get your shoe tied. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that kid can ask me that if it's in my power, she will have it. And it's not because she went to church last week. It's not because she prayed. It's not because of anything else except she is my Briley May. She is mine and I am hers. What I have is hers. That's what he wants you to understand out of this. But you got to get in his presence. We've got to go in. The bread is him. We've got to be with him. We'll see you in 30 minutes. I did my best, Lord. I did my best.